Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson, and this is Sound Healing Radio. Today's show is on volume and how different volumes can be used to not only affect people in different ways, but also to be able to do assessments on people and on various emotions. And then we're going to be talking about phasing and how phasing affects our auditory reality that we're in. The intention for today's radio show is that we will all understand the physical world so that we don't get confused by it and trapped by misunderstandings about it. Kind of a basic Buddhist precept that you need to know reality. Because when you don't know reality, then it'll bite you in the tush. So that's the frequency. It's clarity of mind in one respect, which allows us, when we have clarity of mind, allows spirit to come through much clearer. It's only without clarity of mind that things get muddled. Because actually, clarity of mind is a specific pure tone. It is a pure frequency. When you have a consistent frequency, it's been proven that your brain basically shuts down. When there's an inconsistent frequency, when you have confusion or something that's not clear, then your brain is still trying to figure it out all the time. But as soon as something is clear, your brain just starts humming at a particular consistent frequency. And at that point, it can go to sleep and let the real work begin when you actually connect to spirit and just let spirit happen at that point. Before we start, though, I want to mention that we're now offering, as many of you might know, we're now offering online sound healing classes. And we now have two versions. Just this last week, we added a second version. The first version is with real instructors, live instructors the whole time. And we've got about 12 instructors at our institute. And they are on the computer, sometimes with a webcam, but always with a program that allows you to see our computer screen whenever in real time. So we can show you graphics, we can show you PowerPoint presentations, and then we do conference calls. Right now we're using Skype to do a conference call. And if you're not really very tech savvy, don't worry, because we can help you get set up if you wanted to join us. And you can jump in at any time. And we have a whole certificate program of live instructors. At the same time, we're actually recording all of these shows now. So you can actually do the certificate program by watching videos of the show, because depending where you are, you may not be able to be there at the time that we're actually doing the class. Classes right now are 6 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday and Thursdays, and 10 to 1 p.m., 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturdays, and all of those are Pacific Standard Time. And so if those times don't work for you, you could actually do the video version. And with the video version, you get access to videos also of all of our conferences that we've done. And also you get access to meet every, like once a week, you'll get like 15 minutes to a half hour review of whatever we went over that week, so that you can ask questions and we can see if you did your homework and stuff. And if you want to skip a week with the video version, you're welcome to skip a week and just set it to your own schedule. So if you want to find out more information, you can give us a call at 415-777-2486. That's 415-777-2486. Or you can go online to soundhealingcenter.com. Or you can email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com. Also, besides the sound healing classes, if you happen to be in the area, we do have an open house at the Institute and free workshops all day, tomorrow from 1 to 5 Sunday. And it's a rare time when we have all of our instructors, just about all of our instructors are going to be there doing workshops, and or at least talking about what they do. And so it's unusual that we have all our instructors there. So if you can make it, just come on down. You don't need to make reservations. It's 739 Bryant Street in San Francisco. And let's see what else is happening. Those are the main things happening. Next semester of the classes, the live classes at the Institute, starts January 26th. If you might be interested in the semester after that, starts around May 20th. And each semester is about 3.5 months. And then we have the whole associate degree as well, if you might be interested. So those are kind of all the different things that are happening right now. And I've got to push away the doggy right now. I'm trying to get close. Always likes to get close when we're doing sound healing. Okay. Sit. Especially when I've got a crystal bowl in my hand. Okay, we're ready to continue. First of all, I want to talk about volume. Volume is measured in various ways. It's actually measured in one main way, decibels. And the threshold of hearing is generally thought of as 0 decibel, although you may have seen meters on a CD player or meters or on a mixing board or on anything that's got meters, whereas 0 is 3/4 of the way up. And, well, there's actually 2 different references for 0 decibel. It's actually more than 2, but these are the 2 that are important. The one is the threshold of hearing, and the other is the actual level on a mixer or a meter. And they're based on 2 different 0 references, just so you know. The main one, though, we talk about is based on sound pressure level, which is the threshold of hearing is 0 dB, and it goes up to a scale of 140 dB. At 140 dB, they say 130 dB is the threshold of pain. That's when we start really cringing, although I would say that the threshold of pain is actually around 110 dB. Because they say that around 90 dB, which, let's see, what's a good example of something that's 90 dB? A jackhammer, when you're next to it, is well over 110. It's almost 130 dB. A jazz concert is 90 dB. I mean, a concert that's not even turned up loud at all, that's like 90 dB. Whereas a rock and roll concert goes up to 100 to 110. Whereas dance music and rave music almost hits 130. And they say when you go over 90 dB, you actually are starting to lose your hearing. That it's been proven with prolonged volumes over 90 dB, you're losing your hearing. So it always freaks me out whenever I go into a rave concert or go to a dance hall playing rave or a techno. And it's like so loud. It really freaks me out because I know everybody is losing their hearing. And when you lose your hearing, it's gone forever. We have no idea how to regenerate hearing right now. There's some things in the works. So one of our instructors is working on an electro stimulation of the inner ear that he says is promising for regenerating the hairs within the inner ear. But otherwise, you know, there's not too much once you lose your hearing. So if you're ever at a concert and it's hurting, immediately go to the bathroom and get some toilet paper. Because, you know, when you can't hear something, let me back up one step. The thing about hearing is we have about 23,000 little hairs inside of our ears. Inner ear that actually pick up the sound. And what's interesting is the frequencies are spread across the hairs. So low frequencies are picked up by the low frequency hairs. mid-range are picked up by the mid-range hairs, and the high frequencies are picked up by the high-frequency hairs. So if you have a certain frequency that is really annoying, like nee, or feedback, wee, you know, or even a parent that is going, what happens is it will destroy or hurt those hairs at that frequency, in that one frequency. So you could actually be deaf at one frequency. So it's really important to protect your hearing in this way so that, you know, it doesn't happen. Oh, that's what I was going to say. When you're deaf in a certain frequency, or the volume gets turned down to protect you in that frequency by another part of your ear, then what happens is you can develop learning disabilities and other issues that go on with psychological issues. Because the basic concept taught by Alfred Tomatis, who has done the most research in this area, is that you need all frequencies to be healthy. That each frequency of the 20 to 20,000 hertz that we have of sound, each one of those frequencies is a nutrient. And you need all of those frequencies. And if you're not, if your ear has turned down or is damaged, so you're not hearing one of the, or some, or any part of those frequencies, then you go out of balance. And so that's the basic concept of many of the voice analysis systems, my understanding of Sherry Edwards, and also of the system by Kay Thompson Liu, and a lot of the other systems as well, the BioWave, that their basic idea is that you need to get back to a nice balance of all frequencies. So you're hearing all the frequencies, you've got all your nutrients going. I tend to believe, I don't know for sure, but my belief is that kids who have autism are actually stuck in one frequency. Their brain or their ear has developed such that they're only hearing basically one frequency. They're stuck in one tunnel frequency range. And there's a program called the listening program that actually takes the listener through all of the different frequencies. It actually rolls off the low frequencies until you just have the highs left. And so, like, you'll be listening to classical music, and the lows will go away more and more until it's just like, pss, 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 and then it comes back in slowly to until you have the full frequency range over about a half hour or 45 minutes. And this helps get rid of learning disabilities and helps somewhat with autism. And it's kind of proof right there. And there's a lot of other aspects I won't go into that are based on giving you all of the full frequency range. Also, I once had psychic tell me that it's really important to clear the space in a room. When you have negative energy that's stuck in a room, it's really important to actually play music that is seven octaves, has the full seven octaves. I've got one particular CD. Actually, most of my CDs do the full range, but particularly the CD that is called Root Soul Frequency does all of the seven octaves, and also Awakening. And so that's a good point to know, that you know, a lot of people believe you need the full frequency range. Now, as far as volume, one of the most interesting aspects about volume is something called the envelope of a sound and the way it's tied to emotions. There's a study by Manfred Kleins called Sentics, S-E-N-T-I-C-S, that studies precisely how the change in volume of a sound creates different emotions. He's actually created a program so that you can actually adjust the volume changes of the way a sound is played in a symphony. And it will create different emotions, everything from love to enthusiasm, various, and the full range of emotions. And the basic idea is very simple. When you are angry, the volume of your voice gets loud really quick. It's like, you know, especially when somebody's yelling, it has a very quick attack. That means that the volume reaches a loud volume extremely quickly. The opposite of that is when you're in love. The volume when you're in love of the attack gets loud really slowly. There's no sharp sounds when you're in love. Love does not have sharpness to it. Which is really interesting when you think about it. It's a flow that is really smooth. And most love songs are smooth like that as well. There's not many love songs that are like, you know, that have a real sharp attack to them. Whereas a lot of rap has a sharp attack because, and not all rap, but a lot of rap's got a lot of anger in it. Okay? And all the emotions can be categorized based on their particular volume change. How quickly they get loud, how long they stay in a certain volume, and how quickly they fade out. And ultimately, you can detect the actual emotion going on just by the change in volume over time of the voice. Now, Don Estes at vibrasound.com, he's actually taken this concept and used that as one of the key components to analyzing what's going on with your system. He's able to analyze a lot of detail about you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually just by looking at the change in the envelope of your voice. But it gets even deeper. He actually analyzes the change in volume of the breath. So when he has you do a voice analysis, he'll have you actually say your name and say a few other things. Then he has you just breathe, and he puts the microphone right next to you and listens to your breath. And he gets information about you, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, just from your breath. Now this is, for those of you that have done breath work, you know, the breath is the key. I mean, the breath is the key to our whole system. You can, if you can have control of your breath, you can create any emotion you want. And you know that if you're breathing, you know, very sharply, that it's not nearly as nice. And we're not just talking about the tempo, but also the intensity of the change in volume in the breath. So if you're breathing really slowly, really interesting to think about the actual change in volume. And when you're in a trance state or a state of enlightenment, that change in volume becomes a very specific mathematical formula where it changes very smoothly in a mathematical way. So that's really interesting. You know, a lot of what we're talking about here is really kind of a precursor to research to come. Because, you know, there are so many people that have, well, there's probably at least a dozen voice analysis programs out there. But, you know, I really believe that every single part of your system is coming through in your voice. I believe that not only, well, first of all, the first thing that comes through in your voice is is God's template for you, which is really your soul in a way, but it's also your personality, it's everything about you, but it's your template that God has put together for you. So it's a combination of God and your imprint, your template, your codes of creation, so to speak. And so that comes through your voice. In fact, they say the reason everything comes through your voice is because anything that's going on in your system affects every muscle in your body. It's the basis of kinesiology and muscle testing. So if you have anything emotional going on, but also anything that is just intrinsic to your system will affect your muscles as well. So your voice is controlled by your muscles. It's controlled by your vocal cords, which are controlled by muscles. So they are, I guess, vocal cords are muscles, if not, they're controlled by them. So everything going on in your system is coming through. So that God's template is coming through. Your actual template is coming through and translated into the full harmonic spectrum, the whole envelope and change in volume of sound in your voice, and all the frequencies as well, which is mostly the harmonic spectrum. And the timing of the harmonics as well. And if you have any issues or things in your system that are emotional going on, don't we all, then those will come out through your voice as well. You can think of them as distortions of the God template in us. So those distortions, that's what a lot of people are looking at. They're also looking at just weakness. You know, my point is, I think that of all of the voice analysis programs out there, there's none of them have really even got close to the detail that's actually going on. Probably Sherry Edwards is the closest, but, you know, she holds her information so close to the sleeve that it's hard to get any information out of her as to actually what's going on, unless you swear on a stack of Bibles you won't tell anybody, which one day we would all just share. So still, though, there's still a lot of research to be done to really figure out precisely how to decode what's going on in our voice. And when we can do that, then we can feed back precise frequencies to our system that is a whole harmonic spectrum that will retune us to our God's template, our own particular God's template. And I think that's really where we're heading, is because it's not one frequency. It is not one frequency at all. We have an entire symphony of frequencies going through us. I mean, we've got frequencies in our thoughts, frequencies in our emotions, frequencies in the spaces within our body. We have frequencies that resonate within our chest, within our abdomen, within our heart chambers, frequencies that resonate in our toes, frequencies that resonate in our feet, frequencies that resonate in our nose, for that matter. We have frequencies that resonate based on the material in our body, based on whether it's blood, whether it's muscle, tendon, or bone. All of those materials in our body have different resonant frequencies. We have chakra frequencies. We have etheric body frequencies. We have also the seven rays that are tied to our etheric bodies that are frequencies within our system. They're just in our root soul frequency. There's just such a symphony of frequencies going on within us. And it's interesting, in the online class today, we were talking about the frequencies that change in us and the ones that don't. Quite a few people say that our soul frequency stays consistent, that it's the same from lifetime to lifetime. A few people have said this, but particularly Alice Bailey. And she says that your soul is always the same frequency. Your personality and etheric bodies are different in different lifetimes. And, of course, your personality can change. I would say that your personality is the frequency that can change the most. But it's really interesting because when you look at it, like, how much can it change? How easy are, you know, I mean, and if any of you that are going through consciousness raising or changing over the last few years or at any time, probably noticed, as many of us have been talking about at the Institute, there are certain things that are deep in us, that we see if we're really perceptive. And they are so hard to change. They're just like anchored in there. They just do not want to let go. You know, just certain things. And it's so hard to get to have them let go. If you look at it as from a frequency spectrum, there are certain things that change easily. And if you can change the things that are changing easily, then they can start working on, that will start working on the things that are harder to change. From a physical perspective, the bones are much harder to change. They can be changed. You know, if you hunch over for, you know, 20 or 30 years, after a while, your bones are going to be hunched over. They're going to be bent. And it's going to be hard to change it back. So they do change, but they're really slow. They're kind of like the deepest parts of our personality. Now, another aspect, though, is to as we've talked about, is to raise yourself to a much higher consciousness state, and then access energies that are much higher, so that you can just kind of bypass having to deal with individual aspects and just go to a higher level of consciousness. And we've talked about that. I'm not going to get much into that because I've got a lot more to cover. So if your soul frequency is the one that doesn't change, I would say your personality is the one that is the most flexible, that can change as far as frequencies go. So hopefully one day we'll find the way to find the template. And we're getting close with, there's some programs that are out there now that use quantum resonances to find and check out what's going on in the body. There's the QXCI. There is the Syra, A-S-Y-R-A, by G-Tech, G-T-E-C-H. There's the Nutra Energetic Systems, and that's the company we're working with now to create a whole virtual reality system so you can figure out what sounds and visuals need to go inside your body. It's a whole system we're just getting funded for right now. And then there's the Zyto system. All of these systems send electronic signals through the body and ping different organs in different ways. And these are, I think, the closest. These are really close to being able to give us the information as to the frequency of the symphony going on in your body. And, you know, it's just going to be really nice when we can kind of like Star Trek, you know, just scan the frequency spectrum of every organ, every cell in the whole body, get the original imprint, and then transmit it back into you and resonate your whole system back into health. So it's just like a really complex tuning fork spread throughout your body, and then all of your systems simply are resonated back into their original imprint. And no side effects, very inexpensive, and that's it. I think that's really coming. I mean, God, I just get, oh man, I just got goosebumps and chills down to the base of my spine. I mean, this is really the future. When this happens, I mean, we're not far away now. We're not far away, but when this happens, it's going to be a whole different world. It's going to be, people will be so much healthier. And the cool thing is, when you resonate your whole system into the original template, stuck emotions fall away as well. And you get back to that original space. Kind of like the original space when you're a baby, when you're still connected to spirit and connected to God all the time. Okay. So, got a little off track from volume, but it tied right in there. Okay. The other aspect of sound that I wanted to talk a bit about today is phasing. It's quite different than volume. Phasing is when you have two sounds, and one of them is a little bit behind in time. That is, it's delayed a little bit, and it can be delayed a really tiny bit in time, or it can be delayed a lot. Now, probably the best way, it's hard to explain this very much without a visual, but so I won't go into it very much in very much detail, because it would just be useless, because I want to get people high as opposed to get people confused. Right? The best way to explain it, well, I'll explain it a few different ways. Whenever you have a waveform, you have two parts to the waveform. You've got a sound waveform. You've got the up part of the wave and the down part of the wave. And except in sound, it's not actually up and down. It's actually compressed air and spaced out air. That's what the waveform is transmitted as through the air. It's a compressed airspace and a spaced out air. So there's a wave or of energy moving through the molecules of air that are compressing the air and spacing them out. So it's similar to the ocean, but not exactly, okay? Because it's actually in 3D as opposed to the ocean just being up and down and not really 3D space. It just moves along the surface in the ocean. Okay. So if you have one wave that is right behind a second wave, and you put those two waves together, well, you could easily have the up part of the wave meeting the down part of this other wave. In other words, the compressed part of the wave meets the spaced out part of the wave from the two different waves. And when you have that, you end up with a wave that is like nothing. They cancel each other out. You have an up part of the wave, and you mix it with a down part of the wave, a hump with a dip, and you get a flat. You get no wave. And in sound, that can actually cancel out the sound completely. So you can actually have two speakers blasting sound, going brrrr, but you hear nothing. And it's called phase cancellation. It's actually a real problem for recording engineers as well. Well, if one of the waves is changing the timing, so it's like getting closer and closer to the second wave, and then it passes it, and then it changes speed, so it's like slow. It's like the timing changes. And let me give you another example. This will make it a little clearer. You can have certain parts of a sound that come later than the original part of the sound. So I could have a sound that's like whoosh, so the sh comes later. It's similar in the way harmonics work. Different harmonics can come later when you make a sound. Actually, when I simply go ah or the odd harmonics in my voice are actually coming later than the even harmonics, because the ah is odd harmonic, so it's well, when you have a changing delay time on that second wave, it creates an effect exactly like a crystal bowl. In fact, a crystal bowl is a perfect example of phasing. And it happens because the crystal bowl has a little curve in it, and there are different areas because of the curve in the bowl. If the bowl is smaller at the bottom, it's going to have a different frequency than the larger part of the bowl. And those two frequencies are going to get to you in different times, not only because they're different frequencies because of the size of the bowl, but also because they're different distances from you. So, and because it's circular, it gets really complex, but because it's circular, there is a whole phasing thing that goes on. And if you've ever heard crystal bowls before, you'll notice that the sound seems to float around the room when you're listening to it. You won't be able to hear that floating effect on the radio, because I'm not in stereo. It only happens when you're in stereo, and when you're listening, you have two ears, so you're in stereo when listening. But I'm going to go ahead and play a bowl here, and I want you to see if you can hear kind of an oscillation of it going in and out of phase. I'm going to set the phone down for a second and play the bowl and see if you can hear it. This oscillation or phasing varies drastically between bowls. On this bowl, it's really slow. It's like, as we talked about in different radio shows, it actually entrains you into a state of low delta. And they say when you go below one cycle per second, and that's like I was probably doing about a half a cycle per second, then you actually you can get into a state of deep meditation. Some bowls actually go whoa, 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 especially Tibetan bowls. They'll go wah, wah, wah. But they're still using phase to actually, it's multiple sounds that are canceling each other out to create this phasing effect. Okay? So the point here is different sounds or phasing takes more than one sound to create the effect. So it only happens when you have more than one sound. However, we always have more than one sound because we've got two ears. So we're actually hearing, whenever we hear a sound, if it's coming from the right of us, from off to the right, then our right ear will hear the sound before our left ear hears it. So again, it's like we're hearing the same sound twice, but one we're hearing later than the first one. The right ear hears it first, depending on the size of your head. Your left ear hears it second, about a millisecond later. And what our brain does is it uses that time delay from the right ear over to the left ear, that time delay, to tell us precisely where something is coming in space from, orally, where the sound is coming from. If it hits our right ear first and takes us very specific time to get to the left ear, then we know it's coming from our right side. If a sound is coming from in front of us, it's going to hit both ears exact same time. So that we immediately go, oh, it's right in front of us. If it's coming a little bit to the right, it's going to hit the right ear and then hit the left ear pretty quickly. So it's like, it's going to be like, bum, 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 right ear to left ear. Whereas if it's way off to the right side, it's going to hit the right ear and it's going to take longer to get to the left ear. Bum, 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 bum. Right? If the sound is coming from behind us, exactly behind us, it will hit both ears at the same time, but it sounds muffled. So our brain goes, oh, muffled, same time, right behind us. If it's coming from the left, of course, it's going to hit the left ear first and then go over to the right ear. So our brain is using phase relationship between two sounds to tell us precisely where we are in space, orally, by sound. And when this gets screwed up, you can fall over. It's also tied into your semicircular canals, which, you know, can give you vertigo as well. But that's even a little more detailed. So our sense of reality, half of it, other than the visual side, is tied into this phase cancellation that's going on. So what that means is, if you start screwing with this phase cancellation, you can easily take people out of their reality. So this can be to really, really fun. That's why a lot of music uses phasing in it, because it's just fun to kind of take you out of your reality without being on drugs and with no side effects. Well, it could be side effects, because it's a little ungrounding. It is definitely, actually, it's definitely ungrounding. But it also can take you out of your reality such that you get to a point where you can then disconnect from your normal reality that you're stuck in, that may not be the best reality, and create a new reality. It basically teaches you the basic thing that drugs teach you, is our normal reality is not necessarily the only one there is. And when you realize that there's multiple realities, then you realize you've got a choice as to which one you want to choose. And you realize that it's all an illusion. And you can just choose whichever reality you want. You can choose to be happy, joyful, in bliss, connected to divine love whenever you want, or connected to spirit, connected to God, whatever you want. You choose that reality. So phasing in music is really good for taking you out of your normal reality. It's also, there's a guy named Bob Dratch. If you do a search for D-R-A-T-C-H, you'll find Bob has done a lot of research on using sound in really deep ways. And I'll tell you one story that Bob has done. He has actually connected electrodes to the brain, and then he actually set the output of the electrodes so that they go into a 3D sound processor. Now, a 3D sound processor, there's a lot of them on the market, Roland even makes one. What it does is it takes the map of the phasing around your head in all 360 degrees and figures out the time delay from ear to ear precisely. Then it takes that map of the time delay and maps it onto sounds. So it creates an illusion that a sound is going around your head with just either two speakers or headphones. So it's using phasing to manipulate the sounds to create an illusion of sounds moving around the room. It's basically, it's a perfect example. A ventriloquist precisely is using phasing or phase cancellation to throw their voice. They're creating the same phase relationship with the sound that you would hear as if the sound is on the other side of the room. I'll let that one sink in. They create a phase relationship between they create two sounds, basically. And so the listener hears something that sounds like it's coming from the other side of the room because it's precisely what they would hear if something were coming from the other side of the room. Okay. So anyway, Bob Dratch creates this unit that puts the electrodes of your brain into the actual 3D sound processor that can rotate sound around in 3D in a room, and then puts the output of the 3D sound processor into the arms. So it creates an electrical feedback loop going through the body, out the head, through the 3D sound processor, through the arm, through the body, out the head, and so forth. Okay. Now what this does is when you take the joystick that makes the sound normally go around the room and you turn the joystick, it turns your consciousness inside of your body sideways. I haven't had it done, but one of our instructors has, and he says it's just the weirdest feeling. So what Bob Dratch then started doing is he started using an equalizer in the circuit that turns the volume of certain frequencies up or down, like tone controls on your stereo. And when he used those tone controls, he was able to move the sound up and down through the body. So he got hooked up with Frank Zappa, oh my God, and started creating an orgasmatron. And 6 months later, Frank Zappa died of prostate cancer. I don't know if it was connected, but you got to watch what you do. You start overstimulating. And soon after, the military showed up at Bob Dratch's door and they said, "You're not doing this anymore." Because, you know, the military is using this, using similar techniques to explode organs. So he doesn't do that technique anymore. And then, but he did continue doing the phase inside the body. And I talked to him quite a few years ago, and he said, "I'm not doing this anymore." And Bob is not one to be scared of anything. But he said it's just too powerful. He can't control it. So this is really interesting, that phase is so powerful that even Bob Dratch won't touch it. Phase inside the body, using phase inside the body, not just for the ears. So that's just an interesting, probably about as far as I can go as far as you know, talking about phase without being able to play a whole range of examples. I'll play a little something here in a minute, though. But some of the other examples of phase you might notice is, say, you when you pull up to a red light and the radio station goes that way, you probably notice this. And then as soon as you pull up another couple of feet, it actually comes back. This is because radio stations use three antennas, and they use phasing to control the directionality of the antennas. They will use the same signal and cancel it out in a certain direction, so it only goes a specific distance in a specific direction. Well, because it's more than one signal, and it can also bounce off buildings as well, then when you get to a red light, sometimes you'll get in a spot where the two waveforms are actually canceling each other out. If you just pull up another foot or two, the station will come back. Once I was pulled up to a red light, and there was a woman walking across the street with her three little kids, and I didn't have the radio station, so I pulled up another couple of feet, and she thought I was going to run them over, and she like shot me a bird and everything. It was like, I'm like just trying to get my radio station back in. So that's kind of a problem you got to watch out for. Okay. So phasing is a very powerful thing. It's in crystal bowls. It's in our hearing. It's in a lot of things that are going on. But what I want to do now is I want to play an example of phasing, and it's only in one section of this song. It actually happens about 7 minutes in here. And so, if you will, Don, go ahead and play the song. What might be good is if you can start about 3 minutes in, and then if I can talk over it, it'd be really good, too. Are you there, Don? certain phase. There's even certain phasing that's going to be going on that in between two different strings and an instrument. So, you know, on a violin or a cello, you're going to have one string will automatically resonate another string, and so those two strings together can have a phase relationship. Or like between the two strings on a piano as well. There's a certain amount of phasing going on. There's also huge amount of phasing going on between the harmonics of a sound. The timing of the harmonics, it will be in or out of phase or changing phase. And it can carry some very interesting information. We'll talk about that another time. Oh, another place where there's phasing a lot is the ocean. The sound of the ocean is almost exact. It's like... That is the basis, basically the same thing as phasing. But where you would really hear phasing in detail is when you're inside the curl of the wave. You hear it really well. This song is about a journey, and it was originally, I was hired to do the song to be called Outer Limits, and so I used a lot of effects to kind of take you out of your body, but then there's so much heart in this and so much spirit in it, I called it the Water of Life journey, and Divine Love journey, and at a certain point, the phasing will kick in, and I'll point out when that kicks in. Here, it really kind of starts spinning in a way. If you're on headphones, it's really a trip. It's really a trip because it's like a really floaty feeling. Some phasing going on in some of the synthesizers that are playing right now. It's pretty subtle and they're kind of all jumbled up a bit. So phasing is starting to start here. The cool thing about phasing, I found, is that since it's such a high frequency, like it tends to open up the crown chakra for me. So that's another interesting aspect other than just taking it out of your body, is it does seem to open up the crown chakra. I do notice it. It's really, really interesting how it does that. So what I've tried to do is give you just a inkling into a couple of components of sound that can be used to really affect people. You know, even just the volume of sound as to how loud you are. Sometimes you need to be a little louder to actually affect the actual cells in the body. People in sound loss of mind. Sometimes a whisper can do it. So it's really important to just pay attention to how loud your voice is precisely throughout the day. Not only throughout the day, but through each word. Notice how some words are much softer. In other words, you get louder, and it's precisely what's going on in your system as you hear the volume going up and down. Because you can create a whole flow as to that, as to what's going on, what you're trying to transmit. And then, especially, if you're conscious when you're connected to spirit, or in a really high state of meditation, you know, listen to the sound of your voice at that point. So just pay attention, and hopefully you'll just be more aware of the sounds around you, and the precise volume and the phasing. Sometimes you'll hear phasing going down the street, or say just the sounds reflecting off of a corrugated fence. Take this energy of being connected to physical reality in the truth of what's really going on, so that we're all no longer confused anymore, so that we're all clear-minded, so we can once again let pure spirit come through with no distortion all the way back to our template that God gave. Hold that energy of clarity through the week, through the rest of the week, through the month, through the rest of the year. May we all hold it. Yeah.